through the story of Nehemiah. See the truth here. See what your Spirit is drawing us to, Lord, and that we would have hearts to respond in Jesus' mighty name. So, guys, on Wednesday, interesting thing, we were on Wednesday in prayer here. We were somebody brought up Psalm 51, which if you don't know Psalm 51, that's the psalm that David wrote after he sinned with Bathsheba. And there's a thing in there about creating me a clean heart, O God, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. That's all Psalm 51. But as I kept reading down, and one of the last things that David says in that psalm is he says this. And I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. He says, he's praying to the Lord, and he says to the Lord, build the walls of Jerusalem. And I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. That's exactly what I've been preaching on for weeks now. I got something this morning from Doreen, who's home with her grandkids, and she sent me something this morning from all this prophetic conference, Lance Wallnau and Dutch Sheets and all these guys, and there the Lord's talking to them about rebuilding the wall, right? And I'm like, all right, we're on track. Can I get amen? So Nehemiah 4, let's go there. We're going to go to verse 15, which is where we stopped last Sunday. We're going to get all the way through chapter 4. We're going to skip down to chapter 6 by God's grace. Will be done by Monday. Well, I think we're going to take one more Sunday. We're just going to be Nehemiah for January, and then we're going to shift gears, and I'm going to commission all of us with the second leg of our 2022 vision next month. Amen. Nehemiah 4, 15, when? Everybody say when? When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and with the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built. While the trumpeter stood near me, I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we're separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time also, I also said to the people, let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day. So neither I nor my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon, even to the water. So let me just hit this last verse here, and then we're going to back up and break it down a little bit. Still kind of in teacher mode, maybe a little bit of preaching this morning. All right, look at this. We did not remove our clothes day and night. That's what it says, right? We did not remove our clothes day and night. We took our weapon even to go get a drink. Well, as I said a few weeks ago, we know that if we think about New Testament concept of this is the armor of God, right? Ephesians chapter 6, right? Clothe yourselves therefore with the armor of God, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, gird your loins with the belt of truth, and your feet prepared with the gospel of peace, shield of faith, weapon, the sword of the Spirit, right? And you know, I heard one preacher years ago, you know, oh, hey, brother, make sure you put on the armor of God. And he says, why do we keep taking it off? That's what he's saying right here. We've been talking for weeks now. What the Lord is showing us here, I'm going to get to something, I think you're going to like it really pretty good at the end here. What the Lord is saying to Nehemiah is like, look, this is how the enemy operates. The enemy is going to operate like this and like this and like this and like this. So what you need to do is be on guard, be alert, be aware, right? And understand that when we tend to let our guards down is when we get in trouble. Can I get an amen? Right? Said last week, and if you read through the Old Testament, you will see this cycle over and over and over, right? When Israel's in trouble, they cry out to God, God sends a deliverer, they go through a period where it's like, wow, this is pretty hard, and then the enemy is defeated, and they get blessed, and then they relax. And then they get in trouble, and they get into captivity, and then they cry out to God again, and God sends a deliverer, and then they relax and get in trouble, and Right? Am I saying we can't relax? No, of course I'm not. I love to relax. Who likes to relax? For sure. What he's saying is relax, but keep your armor on. Go get a drink, man. Sit down. Get a sweet tea. Stop taking your armor off. The enemy is waiting for us to let our guard down. Can I get amen? So look at this. Nehemiah, look, from what I can see here, it looks like roughly half of the people were called to either build the wall primarily or stand guard against the enemy primarily. You see that? He's got builders that he says. Half of the people built. Half of the people stood guard with spears and bows and swords and shields, right? Do you see that? So think about it. I'm going to try to really apply this. What does this mean to us today? I think if we're going to be looking in 1 Corinthians 12 here sometime in the next several weeks, and we're going to look at this, take all this stuff we're learning now and apply it into the New Testament, all right? Everybody okay with that? If you're not, we're going to do it anyway. I'm just trying to be nice. But what we see in 1 Corinthians 12 is the Spirit of God, one Spirit, has come down, and he gifts people with various roles in the body of Christ. And you know what the deal is? Here's how we think in the New Testament. Now, this hit me again last night. I was listening to this other prophetic thing. And most of the church today is still living in an Old Testament kind of mindset. And here's what I mean. What did the people of God say in the Old Testament? When God shows up in the power of his glory on top of Mount Sinai, he speaks audibly to the entire nation of Israel. He wants to speak to everyone. And they're like, man, they look to Moses and they're like, this God is scary. What they say, it's Numbers. Is it Numbers? I can't remember. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 21, I think it is. But he says, chapter 20, they say, "If don't let God talk to us anymore, or we're going to die." They say to Moses, "You go talk to God, and we'll do whatever he tells you." Well, we all know how well that worked out. But think about our mindset today in church. And we've almost built it in a way, man. I did a live yesterday. Some of you saw it. We've built these superstar preachers and, this prophet. And should we honor people in leadership? Of course we should, my beloved. But do you understand what I'm saying? The prophet that we can't wait to get another word from has got the same Spirit of God that you got living inside you. That preacher up there who uses, God, I love his preaching so much. Maybe, hope one of you think that about me. That'd be lovely. But you know what I mean? I can't wait till he preaches again. You got the same Spirit of God in you. Can I get amen? What we'll see as we look at 1 Corinthians 12 is I think what we're seeing right here in Nehemiah. There are certain gifts that if you really look at it, it's more about this internal, I'm here to kind of, one of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 is a gift of administration. You know what I'm not gifted in? Kira will say an amen back there real quiet in her heart. Administration. Can't stand it. I'm like, somebody needs to do this for me. I'm going to lose my mind. It's a spiritual gift by the Holy Ghost in the Bible. Helps is a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can I get amen, church? And you really, what we have to understand is somebody who is gifted in helps or administration or some of these things that we're like, wow, that seems kind of boring to me. Well, not in the Bible, it's not. It is absolutely vital for the church to function properly. Is that all right? So what we see here in Nehemiah is we've got roughly half of the people that are there have a heart and are anointed by God and called and assigned by Nehemiah to build the wall. And half the people are not building. They're on guard against the enemy. Y'all see this? Is this all right? But look at verse 18. It says that the builders each wore his sword girded at his side. as he built. Everybody say, as he built. As he built. While the trumpeter stood near me, Nehemiah said. So let's think about this for a moment. We know verse 16 isn't contradicting verse 17, right? Verse 16 is where he says half the half built, half we're on kind of defense, if we will, right? But verse 17 and 18, there's a principle that I think is being unfolded here. And those who are called to protect the others, right, know that they need their swords. But what Nehemiah is saying is like, look, just because you're not called to be out there fighting the enemy, right? Out there is kind of this frontline person, right? Some of us, we like to fight the devil. Can I get amen? Some of us are like, no, I'm good. Right? Some of us are like, no, man. I'm gonna stay here and y'all do that. And you know what, church? I think it's perfectly fine. I'm seeing this in the Bible. We got this thing where if you're not fighting the devil, you got to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That is wrong. There are people that are going to be anointed by God to be gentle and kind. They're not called to be warriors out there jumping around and screaming at the devil. But those who are called to do that need to do that. Is that right? What we do see here is that even though some of us may be called to kind of be builders or nurturers, or you understand, right? It says here that they still need to have their sword girded at their side. So hopefully we all know where I'm going with this. The sword of the Spirit is the word of, come on, church, the word of God. I know. I've been in this thing long enough to know that one of the biggest problems in Christendom today is number one, two problems. I guess there's two here. It's not the one of the biggest ones. Two of the biggest problems. Number one, people don't even know the Bible. Amen. I'm not looking at nobody. Eyes closed. Even though I'm facing this general direction, my eyes are closed. People do not know the Word of God. Amen. Number two, some of us might know it, but we don't keep the swords girded at our side. All right? And look, church, I hear it all. Oh, pastor, I don't understand the Bible. Well, dude, look. Did everybody come out? Were y'all born knowing how to tie your shoes? Anybody know how to tie their shoes as soon as they're born? Learn how to do that, right? Somebody's like, I didn't. I still wore Velcro. Anybody born knowing how to drive a car? Nope. Well, we learn how to do that, don't we? Right? Anybody born knowing how to, wipe your own nose? Nope. Mommy does that. Hopefully not anymore for any of us in here. Hopefully not anymore. Right? Do you understand, church? We're born. We know nothing. We know how to do nothing. Bless you. And we learn how to do things as we grow. Same thing in the kingdom. When you're born again, you know nothing. Everybody say nothing. You know nothing. We're talking to someone the other day. It was one of our good friends in here. And he's like, man, I got to get saved. I said, no, you need to get sanctified, bro. You need to get sanctified, which is what most of the church in America does not teach. We don't talk about that. Oh, look, we got 100 people that got saved last year. All right, how many got sanctified? Negative 10. You're like, wait a second. What? Right? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? I remember, y'all, I think I've told this story before, but the first wedding I did was a long time ago now, but a friend of mine in New York State called me and wanted me to do her wedding. I said, all right, fine, you know. So I go up there. She wants to, her pastor, because I don't know why he didn't do the wedding, but it's fine. So she wanted her pastor to do a salvation invitation in the wedding. I was like, that's fine. It's your wedding. I don't care. So like halfway through, I step out of the way. He comes up and he preaches. It's good preaching, man. He's preaching to everybody for a good 10, 15 minutes, and there's 100 and something people. Like 15 people raised their hand. I want to get saved. And I'm watching this guy. I'm like, man, this is pretty awesome, you know? So we're at the reception afterwards, and we're all hanging out, and I'm sitting at the table with these couple pastors, and he starts talking, and he's just excited, you know? He says, man, did you see all those people raise their hand? And we're talking about it. Like, man, that was awesome, you know? The Spirit of the Lord said to me this. I'm telling you, church, he says, now what? And so I'm still smiling at this preacher, right? I'm like, hey, it's great. The Holy Spirit is all over me. And he says, do you know their names? Where are they going to go to church? How are you going to get a hold of them? Now, we could say, okay, well, he planted a seed, Pastor. Okay, fine. Praise God. I'm sure that he did. But do you understand what I'm saying, church? We're so excited about somebody saying the prayer that we don't follow up and say, man, let me come and walk with me. Let me invest into your life. Let me help you. Let me love you. Let me serve you. Let me... Bible doesn't say to go into all the world and get everybody saved. It says to go into all the nations, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We stop there, but Jesus does not finish the Great Commission there. Teaching all men to observe my commandments. Discipleship. The Great Commission is not just getting folks saved, it's helping people grow. Is that all right? I'm giving you a preview of leg number two of our vision for this year. Amen. Everybody's like, I'm skipping February. Here's my point, church. Think about this. I got into a little rabbit trail there, but we say this. We say stuff, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, neither did I. Still don't sometimes. And I get amen from anybody other than a little chuckle on the fourth row. Anybody ever still read your Bible and you're like, what on earth does that mean? How about Ezekiel? There's wheels inside of wheels. Anybody know what that one means? I don't. Right? Some of those weird visions, you're like, yes, still missing that one. Right? I'll get it when I'm supposed to. Can I get amen, right? I don't understand the Bible. Here's another one. I can't memorize the Bible. Well, you know what? Every single person in this room has memorized something in your personal life. Anybody not memorized anything ever? No, I didn't think so. So the issue is we memorize what is important to us. And I'm just going to give you some real good teaching instruction here. You want to know how to memorize Scripture? Get a notebook, find a couple verses of Scripture, and write it down. Because this is psychology right here. The more senses you involve in learning something, the better you retain it. So if you just look at something and read it, you're going to retain it with a certain level in general. If you write it out, you're using motor skills, you'll retain more. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So right, you listen to it, right? You can hear it, right? Audio. Listen to it, right? Read it, get your Bible, have audio playing, the same scripture you're reading, write it down as it's going. And then you know what you do the next day? Write down the same scripture again. And the next day, write it down again. Write it down, keep writing it down. And I'm telling you, you will absolutely start memorizing Scripture. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, multiplication tables. That's right. Just kept doing it over and over and over again, right? Come on. Is that all right, church? I'm trying to help y'all. We need to keep the sword, even if I'm not called to fight. Okay, but the enemy's still going to come after you. You got to have a weapon, right? It is written, Jesus said. If Jesus, the Son of God, wrapped up in flesh, had to use the sword of the Spirit to fight off the devil, pretty sure we need to do the same thing. Yeah? Let me drive this home. I'm kind of repeating myself a little bit here, but it's important. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not really the prayer warrior type. I'm not really the one who's going to shout in a prayer meeting or take on some demonic entity or be out on the front lines or whatever. Amen. I really feel called to be in the background a little bit more or whatever, right? Cool. Cool. Are you a believer in Jesus? Hopefully everybody raises their hand. We got three. Yikes. All right. Everybody, praise the Lord. Wake up. Are you a believer in Jesus? Yes. Then you need to have your sword girded at your side. Because every single one of us is commissioned by the Lord to go out into enemy territory and push back the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Wherever you go every day, that is your mission field. Work, school, playground, grocery store. My wife and I were at a restaurant the other day. We invited one guy to church, pray for another couple who's got a friend who's dying of cancer. We're at this restaurant. I didn't go there being like, I'm going to tell someone about Jesus. But I was available to be used by the Spirit of the Lord to talk to people about Jesus. Funny story, the guy that we invited to church, this is how he kind of sparks our conversation. He you know, a little bit of small talk, and then he's sitting right near us, and he looks at me and he says, "Anybody ever tell you that you look like a more attractive Peyton Manning?" I was like, no. Never heard that one. All right. He's like, "I'm married, so I mean, I don't mean attractive like that, you know," but I was like, all right, man, whatever. But that ultimately culminated in an invitation to church. And he goes, "You know what? I'm going to come check your church out." The dude lives in Springfield. He says, "I don't care." He told me he lives in Springfield. I was like, "Man, that's far away." He says, "I don't care. I'm going to come check out your church." Dude, can I get an amen, church? See what I'm saying? Every one of us has a story. Every one of us has an anointing by the Spirit of God. I don't feel nothing. You don't need to feel nothing. You have a story. Whatever your story is, I wasn't on crack. This is all coming in February, church. I'm priming the pump, all right? You know what I'm saying, right? I was never a drug addict. Okay, that's your story. You go talk to some successful business person that lived a clean life their whole life. The crack addict story is not going to do anything for that person because they're like, "I was never a crack addict, so I don't matter." Okay, well, I'm glad you got your life cleaned up, man, but I don't think I need your Jesus. Those of us that have, you know, guys, "I got saved when I was 9 months old and I never did nothing wrong." Praise God. Can I get amen? That's your story, man. Somebody is going to hear that story. Be like, "Wow, you were a good person and you still needed to get saved." You're like, "Yeah, for sure. Because I'm really not a good person." Ew. Amen. Look at verse 19 and 20. Is this all right? Nehemiah tells the people that this project is going to be, look at church, great and extensive. And that there will be some distance between them as they work on the wall. There will be times when they will be here. What he says is far from one another, right? And this is what the trumpeter is for. He's got this guy, this the trumpeter that's following him around, right? Anytime the enemy gathered at a particular section of the wall, again, I've said this many times, I believe if I remember studying this years ago, right, the wall was 22 miles long. It's over 20 miles long. So they're spread out. Just think about, from here to my house is only like 9 miles. All right? That's crazy, y'all. It takes me 20 minutes to drive that. They ain't got no cars. Yeah? He thought that was funny. Praise the Lord. One person. All right. Tough crowd today, man. Telling you. You understand what I'm saying, church? They are spread out, man. And so this trumpeter is going around with Nehemiah, and any time that the enemy decides we're going to go over here on the wall. Because what did we look at last week? What does Nehemiah do? He stations behind the low parts of the wall, people in there, what, church? What was the word? Families. Families. Families are stationed behind sections of the wall, and they're assigned, "You are going to rebuild this section of the wall." And then this family goes down here, a couple miles down the wall. "You're over here. You're going to rebuild this section of the wall. And then you're going to go down over here, way over here. You're going to rebuild over here." Church, think about this. I hope you're catching this in Jesus' name. Some of us live in Hartford. Some of us live in Burlington. Some of us live in Canton. Some of us live in Plainville. We're spread out. Remember back when smartphones came out and they told us, "Oh, man, all this technology is going to make life better." Bro. It just, you know what it is? It gave all of our employees a way to make us work more and not get paid anymore. Everybody's like, "Oh, man, I'm depressed now." Do you see this, church? Let's raise our hand. Just be real. How many of you have ever felt distant from brothers and sisters in the Lord? Right? You know, I think the worst feeling is being in a room full of people and feeling alone. Anybody ever feel the way other than me? It's an awful feeling, isn't it? And as I finished last Sunday, I just want to say this. I think there's two things. We need to understand this trumpeting concept, right? And I understand we're all busy. We got responsibilities to police. This is not condemnation. There is a zero condemnation in this message. This is I'm commissioning all of us, myself included. Let's finish this wall. Can I get amen, right? We're half built, but let's finish it, right? Here's what they had to do to finish the wall. The trumpeter didn't show up till the wall was half built. Right? Here's the problem. Sometimes we get ourselves in a position where we're feeling down or we're upset or we're depressed or something happens to us and just life hits us and we don't tell anybody. I'm going to look over here. The root of that is pride. 100%. We had a couple here years ago, super couple, man. They've just moved on, super, super couple, real big faith people. And one time we had a leaders meeting, and they called me and they said, "Hey, Pastor, we're not going to be able to make it to the leaders meeting and to church on Sunday." It was a Saturday leaders meeting and church on Sunday. It was probably the last time gas was $9 a gallon. So I texted them and I said, I don't, what do you mean? What do you mean? You know, is everything all right? And they said, and they finally, after I kept pushing them, right? I said, what's going on with you? They said, well, look, we just don't like talking like this, but we cannot afford to put gas in our car to make it to both meetings. We really want to be there. And I was like, are you seriously too? And that's what I said to this person. And we love them to death. They're awesome people. Bless them. But I said, are you too prideful to ask for $10 of gas money so that you can come to the meeting? I'll gladly give it to you. Do you see what I'm saying, church? Man, am I preaching to anybody right now? And then what happens is we say, see, nobody cares. Nobody knows. Pastor Al, he told me, we talked this 100 times. He says, I used to get in so much trouble because people come to me and say, Pastor, I've been going through this for 6 months and you didn't say anything. He says, you didn't tell me. Well, aren't you a prophet? That's the people he used to say to him. I thought you were a prophet. Oh my goodness. Okay, yeah, and you're a spiritual goofball, all right? Pastor Al, you say, okay, porcupine breath. You guys remember Pastor Al, you say that? Porcupine. What is porcupine breath? I don't even know what that is. That was his favorite thing, porcupine breath. That must smell terrible. I don't know. My beloved, look. We need to be willing to blow a trumpet. We need to be willing to say, look, man, I'm not doing good. And just be real. Here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. Stop, don't soft soap it, don't dance around it. Obviously, I'm not saying grab the microphone and tell the whole church. Probably it's not a great idea. But find a few people that you know are not going to burn you with it. Right? And just say, look, I need help. Is that all right? Tell you what, the first time I got brave enough to do that, you know what I got? Grace. I was so scared. Man, I was terrified. I thought these people were going to kill me. And they did not. Not only did they not kill me, they helped me. Every time, my beloved, I've been brave enough to get over my pride and ask for help, I've got help. Every single time. Amen. Number two, I'm just going to look over here. We all need to put some effort into responding to a trumpet call. Look what it says here in verse, look what it says in verse 20. In whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, can we get that up there? What's it say, church? Rally to us there. And what's the result of the people rallying around those who are needing help? What's the result? What is God going to do? So I've been reading this for weeks, obviously. Weeks and weeks and weeks I've been reading through this. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me several weeks ago, he said, look, son, if you want me to show up, you got to show up. Oh, sorry, brother. We'll just pray for you. Okay, it's probably good, but we actually need some help, though. Like physical help. So unless you can, like the force, you can pray and move those bricks or something. I don't know, man. I actually need you to help me put the bricks in the wheelbarrow. Could I get amen, church? Right? Whatever the help looks like. Sometimes it's just having a cup of coffee with somebody, letting them talk to you. But we are so stinking busy in our culture today. Can I encourage, again, this? I'm just painting, like, looking forward. Imagine by the end of 2022, if we all looked at our schedules and said, you know what, I'm going to purposely slot some time out of my schedule. I'm going to put it in my planner. I don't know if we still use planners or not. I don't. Oh, there's actually, you're of a certain vintage, though. All right. You look good. All right, you look good, but y'all know what I'm saying, right? Look at church. If we don't purposely slot time in for something, time will evaporate quickly. Can I get amen? Do you know the most precious thing that we have as human beings is time? You cannot slow it down. You cannot speed it up. You cannot make more of it. You use it, it's gone. So more than money, more than anything else, the way to show somebody you care is to give them some time. Can I get amen? Is this all right? Nehemiah 6, almost done. Kind of. So chapter 5 is an interesting one. If you want to read through chapter 5, it kind of just hits this topic of leadership abusing people. It's chapter 5. That's kind of the topic of chapter 5 in Nehemiah. They're taking advantage of the people financially and taxes and weird things. So chapter 6 here, then we get back into the kind of wall building. Y'all there? Chapter 6, verse 1. Now it was reported to Sanballat, to Geshem, the Arabs, and to the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall. So again, it's reported. Everybody say it was reported. What did we talk about last week? We've got to break this mindset like the devil is everywhere. There's a devil there. There's a devil there. Demon there. Demon there. Demon there. That is not true. It's not true. That is fear. Amen. F-E-A-R. Fear. There are demons around, my beloved, but everything is not a demon. When we find demons, we need to deal with a demon, but everything's not a demon. Because it says it right here. It was reported. Sanballat, Tobiah, all these people are not like watching them all day long every day. They tried stopping the work and again, obviously went somewhere else and thought, man, there's no way they're going to keep going. So then they hear that, look at that, the wall that I had rebuilt, the wall, it's done and no breach remained in it. Although at the time, I had not set up the doors in the gates. That's an entirely different sermon altogether. Then, ever say then? Then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, come let us meet together at Chephirim in the plain of Ono, but they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? So here we see the wall finished minus the gates of Korch, which I just said, totally different sermon, which maybe we'll bring one of those this year. The enemy shifts strategies from straight up intimidation and manipulation to distraction. Anybody ever felt distracted? How about when you sit down to pray? Man, your mind is like, you're doing good. You pray for 9 seconds and your mind is racing all over the place. Right? Here's a little key for that one. You ready? You want to write it down in your notebook. Get a notebook. And when those thoughts pop in your head when you're praying, write the thoughts down in your notebook. Some of them are probably decent thoughts. Can I get amen? Sometimes it's just like, oh, I got to get milk at the grocery store. Well, write it down because you probably do. I just don't need to get it right now because I'm praying. Right? I seriously learned that in Bible school. It works. Right? Oh, yeah, I got to change the one in the car. Write it down. You probably do. Amen. Is that all right? So, look, I want to show you something here. It's a little bit of a stretch. I rarely stretch anything in Scripture, but this is just how this particular section kind of hits me. The Valley of Ono. Everybody say Ono. The Valley of Ono. The Hebrew word here denotes grief or trouble And as I was studying this more, I discovered that ONO kind of eventually morphed into this word O-N-U-S, like onus, which means responsibility. So here's what will happen many, many times, my beloved. We are responding to the Spirit of God. We're rebuilding our section of the wall. We're plugging in. We're doing well. And then something comes, and it's weird because I'm just talking about responding to the trumpet blast, right? We need to respond to that. But this is not the trumpet blast from somebody else that's on the same mission as us. This is some other issue. No, no, come over here and look at this. Let's go talk about this over here. Let's go talk about this over here. Oh, look at this. And here's what some people will say to us. What? I thought you were a Christian. Why can't you help me? I thought you were a Christian. I've shifted. When I first took the church over, I'd bend over backwards for anybody. I'd give people money. I don't care who they were. Here's money, but I'd give everybody everything. I was driving all over the state of Connecticut every single day. I was just every time the phone rang, okay, I'll be right there. Man, I was exhausted. And I started realizing, like, look, I'd tell people, I'm more than willing to help you. Here's how I can help you. Well, I don't. That's not going to work for me. Sorry. Here's how I can help you. Can I get amen? One preacher, I've seen this a few different ways, but one preacher says it like this. He says, if I'm working harder on your problems than you're working on your problems, I'm going to stop working on your problems. If I'm investing more time into your problems, getting them straightened out, than you're investing getting your problems straightened out, it's backwards. I got my own problems to work on. Can I get amen? Right? We need to help, but there's a fine line between helping people and enabling people. Right? I realize sometimes giving people money is actually enabling continued poor financial choices. Right? Is that right, church? Yeah? That's tough, but it's the truth. So I want to show you this. Something, church, will always be vying for our attention. Always. And one season I went through several years ago now, praise God, I think I'm through it. But I used to really, really struggle with feeling insecure. Not really here, like when I was in here to church, when I would leave and I'd see other churches, particularly if their pastor was a similar age as me, with a similar kind of skill set, and their church was growing like crazy. There's one church out in New Haven several years ago. It's still around, but the guy started and it just exploded. Explosive growth, man. Just grew like crazy. Multiple campuses and all these things. And I really struggled, like, God, what am I doing wrong? You know? Why is this guy's church growing like crazy? Guess the guy was a worship leader, played guitar. You know, his wife was, my wife's prettier. But, you know, I mean, like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like I'm looking at, like, oh, this guy's just like me. What am I doing wrong? And finally, the Spirit of God says to me, nothing. You're doing nothing wrong. You're doing stuff that's wrong, but not because of that. Can I get amen, right? We're all doing stuff wrong once in a while, but you know what I mean. And when I went through this season, church, it was like God had to dig this thing out of me where I felt like I was always looking around trying to go, like, maybe I should try this. And so I sat down with this guy. I went to this conference one time over at Wellspring, and I'm looking at the flyer, right? And this young pastor's preaching one session. And I'm literally sitting there in the front row, and I said to the Lord, I said, well, I guess I know where I'm not going. I don't want to listen to this dude. In my heart, I say that. And in me, the Holy Spirit says, that's exactly where you're going to go. Right there. And I was like, nope. And he's like, oh, you want to fight about this? All right, you're going to lose, right? So I go sit down. I listen to this guy real good. It was so good. And I'm still mad because I don't like this guy. Don't even know him. Never talked to him. Don't like him, though. right? I'm like, man, this guy's a good preacher. Real good stuff. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, fine. Like, there's 5 minutes left. I'm like, all right, Lord, did it. And then he's like, now go tell him you're sorry. I was like, no way. Never talk to this guy. Like, what am I going to walk up and be like, hey, bro, I'm Mark. By the way, sorry. What? I literally asked the Lord that. I said, that's what I'm supposed to do. Introduce myself and say that I'm sorry. And the Lord says, yes. I was like, fine. I don't care. So that's what I did. I waited for everybody to leave. And I said, hey, man, I'm Mark, and I need to apologize. He's like, what? So I told him. I said, I'm just really jealous of you, man, and I'm fighting envy in my heart. I know it's wrong, but this is where I'm at. And we sat down, and he gave me some advice that I want to give you. So good. Everybody knows what a Lego block looks like, right? Anybody not know what a Lego block is? Right? They're like these little plastic things, and they got pegs on them, right? Yeah. If you step on one of those in the middle of the night, on a scale of 1 to 10 pain level, it's like a 29. Right? Especially if it's on hardwood. Dude, it's yeah. You better be right with Jesus if you do that. But this is what he said to me. He says, look, man, I want you to think about this. Because he told me, he says, look, we're struggling. And I was like, what? It looks so awesome. But he goes, oh, we're struggling, man. We're having a hard time. And I was like, no way. And he says to me, look, life is like a Lego block. You get 8 pegs on it or 6 pegs, or how many pegs you got in your Legos. And you can only fit 8 pegs worth of stuff on your Lego block. That's it. Can't put more than that. So you need to choose what is getting a peg in your life. And he said to me, man, pastoring our church, he goes, because it's got to be thousands of people with all the locations. He says, all day long, all week long, I'm getting emails from people in the church. Oh, pastor, we should do this. Pastor, we should do this. Pastor, we should do this. He says, most of it's great ideas. But my response is, that's not what we're doing. We are doing this. This is what God has called us to do. This is our lane. And he looked at me and he said, my brother, stay in your lane. Figure out what your lane is and stay in it no matter what. He says, part of this that's going to get you in trouble is not bad ideas, it's good ideas. But that are not God ideas. Stay in your lane. Can I get amen, church? Look at your personal life. What are you're married? Number one, obviously, number one to the Lord. Number two is your marriage. Number three is your kids. Maybe number four is your job. Maybe number four. Might be number six or eight. Culture is trying to get us to put job at number one. Guess what? You don't show up at your job tomorrow, they'll go hire somebody else to replace you in a second. They don't care about you. Is that all right? We're going to go a little past 12. Is that okay, everybody? Is this all right? So the Valley of Ono. The enemy, my beloved, here's where I'm going to stretch it just a little bit. The enemy is very good at making everything seem like an emergency. Like the latest, oh no. Come meet me in the valley of the latest emergency. Let's talk about it. You know what Nehemiah says? I'm busy doing what God called me to do. I don't got time for all your problems. Now again, this is not inside Jerusalem, right? If it's the people of God and the enemy's coming, he says, you better respond. But when the enemy comes, say, oh, stop doing that. Come over here. Look at this. No. God told me to build this. I ain't got time for all this stuff over here. Is that all right, church? Almost done. Little thing about time. I'm almost done. Everyone gets 24 hours a day. Everyone gets 7 days a week. Everyone gets 12 months a year. No one has more. No one has less. We all use our time in various ways, but the bottom line is, my beloved, we all have the same amount. We cannot make more. We can't slow down, can't speed it up. I said that, but it's so important. you know, I used to be late everywhere all the time because I tried packing 26 hours of stuff into a 24-hour day. You cannot do it. I hate being late, man. I can't stand it. I want to be early every time, right? But I have to choose to take some things out of the schedule so that I have time for what's really important to me, right? Does that make sense? What the enemy did to Nehemiah was say that he was building, this is the lie. If you go read this thing, what he says is he sends him letters five separate times, four times, and then sends him a fifth one. But he says basically says that Nehemiah is building a coup to overthrow King Artaxerxes, or however you say that guy's name, right? This is what he's saying. I'm going to send a letter to this king saying that you're trying to overthrow him, which is not what Nehemiah was doing. You know, Nehemiah basically says, go ahead, send him the letter. Knock yourself out. My beloved, sometimes when folks try to intimidate us, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to say this and this and that about you. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Say whatever you want to say. That's hard, man. I know there's some folks who've said stuff about me since I've taken this church over. I said, go ahead, say whatever you want. Amen. I know who I am. And people who really know me know who I am. And they hear stuff like that and they're like, nope, Mark would never do that. Can I get amen? Nehemiah 6, 8, and 9. Just going to read right through this. We are done right here in the next 29 minutes. No problem. Then, verse 8, then I sent a message to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done, but you're inventing them in your own mind. Look at verse 9. For all of them, the enemy, were trying to frighten us, thinking, they'll become discouraged with the work, and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Last little point right here, and then we're just going to read and leave you guys with the end of this chapter. Here's another one of the enemy's plans. The work of the Lord has started, right? The enemy wants us to not even start. But once we started, he's going to show up and try to just discouragement, right? We've been talking about this for weeks. But when what does Nehemiah pray for? I talked about this a couple Sundays ago. We would normally pray, oh God, deal with this enemy. Send fire down. Send a lion to eat him up. But whatever, right? We're deal with the enemy. You know, do something about this. But look at what Nehemiah, his prayer is what? Nehemiah, I think, guys, now at chapter 6 of his story, Nehemiah's finally figured out, you know what? This is just what this guy's going to do. Sanballat's going to run his mouth. Tobiah's with him. Geshem's going to do this. Arabs are going to do that. And he's like, you know what, God? Just strengthen me. You're allowing this enemy to do what they're doing. You're not stopping it. So you know what? Just strengthen me. Think about this, church. We think of a miracle as like the Red Sea parting and then crashing back on the Egyptians and the armies wiped out, right? Sounds like a good miracle, right? We think like a miracle is Elijah calling fire down in the offering consumed and then all the prophets of Baal get killed. Look, great move of God. But what if your miracle in your personal life, what if the miracle of this church is that we finish what God started here 31 years ago? And who cares what the enemy does? Do your worst. Run your mouth, chatter, intimidate, lie. Come on, church, some of those old gospel songs. Oh, y'all been lied on. Cheated, misrepresented, you know, all that stuff, right? Come on, church. Anybody been around a little bit, right? They say all this stuff. Like, look at what Nehemiah's like. You know what? I do whatever you want. I'm going to finish what God told me to do. Can I get amen, church? The enemy, I'm going to show you something. We're done right here. Nehemiah 6, verse 10. Then when I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, give you a little, almost done right here. Shemaiah was a prophet of the Lord, if you really study this out. So he goes to this house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, verse 10 here, son of Mehetabel, who is confined at home. Isn't that interesting? Confined at home. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God. Now he's getting religious. Within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they, the enemy, is coming to kill you. And they're going to kill you at night. You're not going to see it coming. But I said, let's say it together, church. Come on, nice and loud. Everybody say it together. Should a man like me flee? Should a man like me flee? And one such as I go into the temple to save his life? Oh, church, I could preach on that for another hour. We shouldn't be coming to church hoping we make it another week. We should be coming into church with some victory already in our spirit. Say, like, man, look what God did in my life this week. Yeah? I will not go in. Then I perceived, look at this, after he stands up to this temptation, look at verse 1. Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him. But he uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened. And let's say this together, church. Act accordingly and sin. Is it okay to be afraid? Yes. Is it okay to act afraid? No. No. If you're really serving God, you're going to be afraid sometimes. Can I get amen? You will face up to you like, yikes, that's scary. But God said, you better keep going, man. You better press in. You better keep pushing. You better keep plowing. Get somebody to stand with you. Get somebody to pray with you. Get somebody that's going to partner with you. Whatever you got to do, but you better finish this wall. Stop backing down. So, he says, so that they might have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. Hebrew word there means shame. Remember, oh my God, Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these works of theirs, and also Noadiah, the prophetess. Here's another prophet that's lying, right? And the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of the month Elul. I don't know how to say that. E-L-U-L in, say church with me. We all know this one, right? 52 days. Nehemiah describes it just earlier as a great and extensive work, but that got done in 52 days. When all our enemies heard of it and all the nations surrounding us saw it, who's they, church? The enemy. The enemy lost their what? Confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Let's stand up. I just want to pray over you just for a short little prayer here. I have it written in my notes. Is this all right? Are we good? So I'm right here, church. Let's just close our eyes. Raise your hands to the Lord. And Father, we're asking you for some vision to be able to look back, if we're all still here in 2020, the end of 2022, God, we want to be able to look back and see something that has happened in this congregation that the only explanation is that this was accomplished with the help of our God. It's not something that somebody looks at and be like, oh, anybody could do that. But we look back and we look and we say, Lord, this was accomplished by your Spirit. This wasn't accomplished because we were working harder and striving and stressing out. It is a supernatural wall, a supernatural thing that you built as we partner with you, partner with one another, God. And then at the end of this year, we look back and say, oh, my goodness gracious. That is astounding. It is miraculous. Church, I'm telling you, I'm looking at my personal life. If there are so many things in my personal life a year ago, if you told me I'll be where I am now a year ago, I'd have been like, there's no way. There's no way. There are so many things coming against us, and I don't even know how I got out of it. I'm looking back and I'm like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But we're out of it. We just kept pushing. We kept going. We kept plugging in. We kept just one foot in front of the other. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to quit. So, Lord, help us, God, to stop listening to the Sanballats and Tobias in our lives, God. To stop listening to the lies of the enemy, God. Lying about what we're doing and our motives and our all these things, Lord God. Lord, let us not get caught up in the culture, Father. Help us to see that the culture is demonic and rise above it and say, look, we are on mission for our God. So, God, we surrender to you. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. Strengthen our hands, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Man, guys, have an awesome week. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Two things, everybody, before you go. Everybody, I think, knows Joe Butler. He's been kind of coming the last few weeks, sits in the back here. I just asked for prayer. Joe just threw his back out yesterday. So he said not major, but he's hurting. So if we could keep Joe in prayer. And just guys, let's continue to pray. A few people are still recovering from COVID. All right, this last round of COVID hit some people a little hard. So let's continue to just remember them in prayer and that we will rise victorious over everything the enemy has against us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Have an awesome week. Wandy Leon's group, you guys are through the back door there. In Jesus' name.